got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love, undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, May 18th, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. I don't know that I mentioned, but during the first hour I mentioned the painting by Clark Kelly Price. I don't know if I mentioned the title of it. It's called No Place Like Home, with the inscription. Well, you can buy it with the inscription, "My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it." So, speaking of American history and the book American History After 1865 by Ray Allen Billington, it's interesting, the companion reading. So the book mentions it's so there's an outline. How to use this outline. It's called an outline. Standard textbooks in American history. Listed below are the most widely used textbooks that deal with American history after 1865. The table that follows indicates the exact pages in these texts that are summarized in this outline. So, I think this is where we have kind of, you know, the competing deal. It reminds me, so how do you leaven the loaf? You just do it a little bit at a time, little by little, a little leaven, leavens the whole loaf. So it reminds me of Henry Lai's research at University of Washington and how he figured out that at a glance, the peer-reviewed studies seem to indicate, you know, on whatever controversial issue, they're split 50-50. So it could go either way. And so people usually side with the what they believe to be the large credible institutions, which gets back to what I was saying earlier. But upon closer inspection, Henry Lai says, wait a minute, they are sort of inversely proportionate. The studies funded by industry are overwhelmingly in favor of whatever industry wants, and those independent studies are overwhelmingly in opposition, which, you know, corresponds directly to the research he and his colleague were doing on the Motorola technology. Is you know, this cell phone technology harmful? Henry Lai says, yeah, it looks like it is. And Motorola kept saying, try again, try again, try again. And ultimately tried to get him removed from his career, essentially. Wargaming him, they said, in effect, in their internal emails. Anyway, these books remind me of the same thing. By 1969, what the Rees Committee had discovered was already in full effect, you might say, had been since the turn of the 20th century. But you can see the split in the, you know, American Republic versus democracy discussion, which even the United States military acknowledged at the turn of the 20th century. America's a republic, not a democracy. Not, you know, it's, we have a democratic voice, but it's not a democratic form of government. So in these textbooks, you know, speaking of being familiar or even intimately acquainted with the authentic, here were the textbooks most widely used in 1969. John Alden's Rise of the American Republic, published in 1963. Just a few. Thomas A. Bailey's The American Pageant, A History of the Republic, published in 1966. When was the last time you heard anybody say America's a Republic? But Chris, Plato wrote the book on the Republic, yes. And that's, you know, part and parcel to the deeper aspect of the discussion. But, you know, we got to start somewhere, right? Let's see. Skipping ahead. Avery Craven and Walter Johnson, The United States Experiment in Democracy. And this is interesting, too, speaking of this kind of stuff, John Garrity's The American Nation since 1865. I mean, again, before the turn of the 20th century, America was less of a fascistic, nationalist sort of concept and more of a union of several states. But, you know, again, that's a different discussion. Here's another one, A Short History of American Democracy, published in 1966. And The Oxford History of the American People, Growth of the American Republic, published in 68. The American Democracy, Its Rise in Power, published in 64. So, you know, you have, I mean, you can see some of this stuff at work, I think, in these textbooks, in their titles, if nothing else. And that's, maybe I'm just hypersensitive to it. I acknowledge that. But it's not without cause. I would say it's for good reason. So you have education, the issue of education, back to that. And speaking of well, just two things, I guess. Speaking of democracy versus republic, Stevie Kidd, does she still have it? She still has it on her website, dv.com. On the front page, you can find Benedict D. LaRosa's Democracy or Republic, Which Is It? Which is an interesting read. I would say he even mentions what I alluded to, you know, he wrote, as late as 1928, the Citizenship Chapter of U.S. War Department Training Manual TM-2000-25 expressed the opinion, quote, democracy has been repeatedly tried without success. Our constitutional fathers made a very marked distinction between a republic and a democracy and said repeatedly and emphatically that they had founded a republic. One of America's outstanding historians, Charles Austin Beard, put it succinctly, at no time, at no place, in solemn convention assembled, through no chosen agents, had the American people officially proclaimed the United States to be a democracy. The Constitution did not contain the word, or any word lending countenance to it. Why then do we all, why do we call ourselves a democracy, and does it really make a difference? So, you know, It's an interesting little pamphlet to read. It probably should be reprinted and circulated widely. Benedict LaRosa, San Antonio, Texas. There's that, and also what is this? Nope. Walter Williams, Why the Founders Did Not Want a Democracy. And that's a drawn from the C-SPAN interview about his regarding Walter Williams' book, Liberty Versus the Tyranny of Socialism. It's excerpted by the channel True American News. Anyway, for those interested, that's something to look at. Liberty Versus the Tyranny of Socialism. And again, the title of the clip is Walter Williams, Why the Founders Did Not Want a Democracy. And so his C-SPAN book interview, Walter Williams, also interesting. But this, the point of mentioning this, again, gets back to what I said in the first hour of today's broadcast. What if we were just intimately familiar with the authentic? What if we just set all of the mainstream hyperbole aside for a little while? I mean, it's like, you know, that stuff is like trying to obtain subsistence from a diet of Twinkies and Ho-Hos. It's just not going to work. You know, and jujubes, it will have a deleterious effect at some point. It's not going to be good. So what if we set that stuff aside and just got intimately familiar with the authentic? Well, that's what school is for. One of my favorite parts of Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand, Chapter 36, Education. You know, I think the Jeffersonian concept of 2 to 3 years is great. Seems to coincide with what our grandparents used to say. You know, I only made it through the eighth grade. Yeah, but they could run a municipality on an eighth grade education. Or by the fifth grade, actually. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Well, which fifth grader are we talking about? Not all fifth graders are considered equal. So you think about this nonsense that I mentioned, I was sort of speaking to in the first hour, and the crazy things that are going on in school, even the most seemingly, upstanding schools, the best schools, and you see the crazy stuff that I mentioned. Glenn Beck is talking about, what is it, yesterday, how ESG and BlackRock are robbing you of financial control. But what if we just got familiar with the authentic? We got intimately familiar. What would that do? What would that look like? Can you imagine if people understood the reality of what it means that the Constitution expressly grants the, you know, the enumerated power of coining money? That power is, the enumerated power is expressly granted to Congress. What if people understood that power is granted to Congress alone? The Federal Reserve is, by its own admission, a private corporation. Federal Reserve notes are not dollars. Can you imagine if we just all understood that, what that would do? If we, well, for that matter, I've mentioned many times, I wonder if it's still on WikiQuote, John Adams. Let's see if it's there. Yep. Letter to Thomas Jefferson, August 23, 1787, as cited in the works of John Adams. All the perplexities, confusions, and distresses in America arise not from the issue of democracy or republic. No, not from defects in their constitution or confederation. That's an interesting discussion right there. What do you mean constitution or confederation? I like what Prince said when he was interviewed by Tavis Smiley, you know? Well, I'll just leave it at that. Not from want of honor or virtue, which gets to what I have said, virtue, morality, and religion. Not from want of honor or virtue. Then what? All the perplexities, confusions, and distresses in America arise from what, according to John Adams? The downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation. And there is a class that maintains a stranglehold on that knowledge. Why? My people perish for lack of knowledge. If we don't all attend Wharton School of Business or London School of Economics, then we're doomed to languish in darkness. But not necessarily, because I think we can get an ample education, you know, just by reading and becoming familiar with the Bible, for example. It tells us what money is, and it's not cryptocurrency. That's not money. That's theft. That's a confiscatory scheme waiting to happen. So speaking of education, I want to get to this other stuff. I appreciate Epperson's Unseen Hand, Chapter 36, Education. John Dewey. Well, let's just back up a little bit. You know, so Hitler and other dictators agree that get them while they're young, basically. There are the Owenites. We've talked about that on this broadcast over the many, many years. Lark and I probably could have an interesting conversation about that. In 1829, one of Owen's supporters stated the great object was to get rid of Christianity and to convert our churches into halls of science, you know, STEM schools. The plan was to establish national schools from which all religion was to be excluded, in which is disingenuous. It's, you know, they want to teach Satanism, essentially, is what it'll turn into. But you can't just come out and say that. And I'm not saying that Robert Owen knew that himself. But that's you know, if you read the work of the hierarchy, you can. It's essentially in there. And again, Gary Kaw has written pretty extensively on that kind of stuff. National schools from which all religion was to be excluded, in which nothing was to be taught but such knowledge as is verifiable by the senses. Oh, isn't that what Bertrand Russell said? You know, his advice to the future would be, you know, trust only the facts that you could verify. And that's what these guys say. And they're basically taking shots at the Christian position of, you know, trusting in God without actually physically seeing this or that. But I think I would point Bertrand Russell back to Romans chapter 1, around verse 20, for example. So, nothing was to be taught but such knowledge as is verifiable by the senses, the empirical stuff, right? To which all parents were to be compelled by law to send their children. And so, you know, I ask, speaking of the schools, just the story that I told earlier, why are we subjecting our children to this kind of stuff? This is what, isn't it funny how, you know, this is the Platonic vision, and now we have the Neoplatonic realization of it. Robert Owen talked about it a couple of centuries ago. Isn't it interesting how here we are. Funny that. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. You know, speaking of a healthy awareness, I think one of the most salient takeaways that some folks have observed from Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand, for example, is the, call it the conspiratorial version of history versus the accidental. And it's, you know, conspiratorial sounds kind of paranoid, but just to acknowledge the possibility, you know, the curiosity of, how did that happen? You know, I was just thinking in the break, what about the Barbary Pirates, which was something that folks like Jefferson dealt with? What kind of intrigue was going on behind the scenes? I've mentioned Jefferson's bill for the general diffusion of knowledge. I think it was 1799. Was that a precursor to what I'm talking about, you know, that Robert Owen and the Owenites were up to, and that Horace Mann conscripted essentially? I wouldn't be surprised. But, you know, just to be aware of those kinds of things, not looking everywhere for something, some kind of boogeyman, but just to be aware and not to be naive, I think, is one of the most salient takeaways from books like The Unseen Hand. Let's go to the phones and grab Skip in California. Skip, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. You triggered me again with Democracy and Republic. I called this in years ago. In fact, I called in on John's show years ago on this, and it was what you were talking about, republics and democracies. And an interesting read on it was the American Opinion in October 1961 by Robert Welch, Republics and Democracies. It goes on 26 pages, it's too much. But he begins it in Greece with Solon, and you can fill in the gaps on that one. Also, there's And We Mutually Pledged by Stewart.
Stewart. I don't know what is going on, but you're really hard to hear. I don't know what's wrong with the connection, but it cuts out a little bit, and you sound like you're really far away. It's not just me. Asked, and it's all right.
If I can, any better?
I think so. Yeah, a little better.
Well, anyway, my point being, the Republic, American Opinion in 1961. Also, Ralph Epperson wrote New World Order, The New World Order, and he did a whole chapter on Lucifer worship, chapter 9. Mm-hmm. Does that come through? Do you hear that?
Yes.
Okay. And a good quote from Washington is, government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master, George Washington.
And speaking of the Birchers, G. Edward Griffin wrote the book, right? The Fearful Master, I think?
Yes, he did. Pretty much talking about the United Nations.
Right.
In that book. And, he also wrote, the Creature from Jekyll Island, which a lot of that supposedly came from Eustace Mullins also. I seem to trigger something last call a week ago where I mentioned that book, Eustace Mullins. I didn't intend to, but you seem to be interested in that parasitism, that parasite. And here's Gary Allen. He wrote a little pamphlet called The Looters. The front picture of the book is pamphlet is they're looting the Capitol, the congressman. No, it was written probably back in the 60s also. So anyway, that's my point, and I'll continue to listen. Love your show.
Thanks, Skip. Much appreciated.
You bet.
Great citations. So, becoming intimately familiar with the authentic, just a little exercise. We're about headed into a break. I was going to finish a thought. I sort of went down a few different rabbit holes, or maybe the same rabbit hole, but just imagine, you know, the First Amendment, I think generally we're all familiar. Congress shall make no law. Second Amendment, well-regulated militia, et cetera, et cetera. What's the third? What happens if you ask most Americans that? What's the Third Amendment even concerning? Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The office of the president could gain new powers. I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi announced the Consumer Fuel Price Gouging Prevention Act, which would grant Biden the power to issue an emergency declaration making it unlawful to increase gas and home energy prices in an exploitive and excessive way. Rather than reverse the failed energy policies of the political left, the speaker wants to grant new emergency powers to the president. Over the past 2 years, we the people have seen how the government abuses emergency powers. Would anyone be surprised if the president were to use these new emergency powers to further cripple the energy industry for the sake of the green energy movement? We need limits to the existing emergency powers and more checks and balances. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Cibus Pacem, Parabellum.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special.
Welcome back. So, the Third Amendment, how many Americans could speak to it? And is it relevant today, even if they could speak to the issue, you know, no soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house? What does peacetime mean? And, you know, who, by the way, who declares law? Or, I mean, excuse me, who declares war these days? I thought it was Congress. I thought Congress, again, that enumerated power was expressly granted to Congress. But again, you know, most Americans are probably saying, oh, it's, you know, like I've said before, it takes too long. You know, what happens if, well, first of all, I think that Noam Chomsky is prescient when he says, who is projecting force? Who's really threatening the United States? You know, and I heard an author on the Golf Channel the other day mention, speaking of the live golf nonsense, 15 of 19 hijackers were Saudi. Okay, well then let's start talking about why we bombed Afghanistan. Why didn't we turn Saudi Arabia into a glass parking lot, as they say? Why didn't that happen? And that whole live golf thing is fraught with controversy. If we could just have honest conversations and somewhat well-informed, imagine what could happen. So, quartering of soldiers, people will say, well, you know, we're not doing that. And I would perhaps dispute the notion that we're not entirely. I mean, when we're sending law enforcement personnel and even military folks who come home to Israeli training, for example, I think that's patently un-American. That's my opinion. I think it's dehumanizing. I don't think it's in keeping with our American ideals. No offense to anyone else. They can conduct their affairs the way they like, but we probably shouldn't. That maybe gets back to what Washington said and others. You know, the sentiment that was echoed about commerce with all, entangling alliances with none, and the factious waves that will undoubtedly arise if we entertain those things. That was something that Washington mentioned in his farewell address. But when brighter minds mention these things, you know, speak to these issues. Edwin Vieira, by the way, what happened to him? I asked that before. He had that interview with Brad Mills back in 2020. But where is Edwin Vieira since then? And speaking of familiar with the authentic, who is familiar with his Pieces of Eight? So guys like Edwin Vieira, and others, you know, folks over at Heritage have weighed in, Hillsdale College has weighed in. It's not without, what's his name? Victor Davis Hanson talked about it. Hillsdale College, CCA3, that deal, you know, touched on it. So, you know, I would say not so fast. People say, well, we're not doing that. You know, in time of peace, no soldier shall be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner. I think there are, you know, not to get high-centered on this, but I think there are nuances that are overlooked in the discussion. We've been sort of conscripted to it by default. We don't understand the distinction, for starters, between the regulars and the volunteers. Speaking of Vieira and his point about the militia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The concept of the militia has been vilified, though it's, you know, otherwise entirely misunderstood. Makes perfect sense. And, you know, for that matter, the whole idea of socialism, for example, that some big mechanism could take care of us all in a uniform fashion, even though we're all different and we have different needs among us. And that changes sometimes on a daily, weekly, monthly kind of basis. So isn't it better that we all kind of take care of ourselves? So, you know, gets back to people sort of growing their own food a little bit, providing for their own security and defense. Oh, but we need, you know, as some folks have wisely observed, there seems to be something that underlies all of this. You know, you hear these commercials, parents who have their kids wear helmets and, you know, seatbelts and things like that. We want our children to be safe and secure. You know where you're most safe and secure? In prison. So there's a trade-off. So without too much free association or seeming random association, you know, back to Bill Maher, you know, he said, I think maybe instead of trying to eradicate all lies and, you know, falsehoods, maybe we should just develop a better BS detector, is what he said. And I'm inclined to agree with that sentiment. So, you know, it's a twist. It seems like it's just a twist on P.T. Barnum's, you know, the cliche attributed to Barnum, there's a sucker born every minute. If we can convince people that somehow we can eradicate all falsehood, then we can just basically create an entire society of suckers. Naive little suckers that'll believe anything. And that's, you know, wherever there's prey, there's predator, usually in the wild. So what do you suppose that might invite? And how much worse it would be if you disarm those folks, those feckless little children. It doesn't sound like a good idea, is kind of what I'm saying. So anyway, back to the conversation of the authentic and so on. What John Adams said in his dissertation on the canon and feudal law, he put it this way: let the colleges join their harmony in the same delightful concert. Let every declamation turn upon the beauty of liberty and virtue and the deformity, turpitude, and malignity of slavery and vice. Let the public disputations become researches into the grounds and nature and ends of government. Think about that. And the means of preserving the good and demolishing the evil. Preserving the good and demolishing the evil. Let the dialogues and all the exercises become the instruments of impressing on the tender mind and of spreading and distributing far and wide the ideas of right and the sensations of freedom. In a word, let every sluice of knowledge be opened up and set aflowing. The encroachments upon liberty in the reigns of the first James and the first Charles, by turning the general attention of learned men to government, are said to have produced the greatest number of consummate statesmen which has ever been seen in any age or nation. So just think about that. You know, what if that could happen today in America? We have to set aside the diet of candy corn, though, and perhaps maybe introduce a diet that's a little more substantive. So he went on, all of these, he names a number of statesmen, all are said to have owed their eminence in political knowledge to the tyrannies of those reigns. The prospect now before us in America ought in the same manner to engage the attention of every man of learning to matters of power and of right, that we may be neither led nor driven blindfolded to irretrievable destruction. Nothing less than this seems to have been meditated for us by somebody or other in Great Britain. There seems to be a direct and formal design on foot to enslave all America. This, however, must be done by degrees. And then he goes through that a little bit. The first step that is intended seems to be an entire subversion of the whole system of our fathers. Does this sound familiar at all? By the introduction of the canon and feudal law into America. How many of us have talked about a neo-feudalist emergence in America these days. The canon and feudal systems, though greatly mutilated in England, are not yet destroyed, which reminds me of the beast that received a wound, but, oh wait, it's back. And so he goes on, but, and it's worth reading, but hopefully that's enough to make the point. So, this issue of education, I could go on from Epperson's The Unseen Hand, Chapter 36, Education. You have Owen and the Owenites. You have Dewey and his work at Columbia, the Teachers College in particular, the laboratory, experimental or laboratory school. And then you have Frederick Taylor Gates, one of the infamous Gates. Dewey had the pleasure of teaching four of the Rockefeller brothers. Their grandfather, John D. Rockefeller, started the General Education Board, the forerunner to today's Rockefeller Foundation, as a means of introducing the world to of education to the wealthy. Board's chairman Frederick T. Gates wrote, "In our dreams, we have limitless resources and the people yield themselves with perfect docility to our molding hands. The present educational conventions fade from our minds, and unhampered by tradition, we work our goodwill upon a grateful and responsive rural folk." Well, who decides what constitutes goodwill? One man's goodwill might be another's cybernetic totalism. Dewey's personal philosophy about atheism, socialism, and evolution had their effect upon the entire campus of Columbia, not just through the School of Education. One student at Columbia, Whitaker Chambers, who later became a member of the Communist Party, wrote this about his student days at the school. Quote, "When I entered, I was conservative in my view of life and politics, and I was undergoing a religious experience. By the time I left, entirely by my own choice, I was no longer a conservative and had no religion." Or so he thought. Dewey's commitment to socialism and communism became more real when in 1905 the British Fabian Society opened an American branch known as the Intercollegiate Socialist Society. John Dewey was one of its founders. In 1921, the society changed its name to the League for Industrial Democracy. Isn't that a curious title? What does it mean? And announced its purpose as, quote, "education for a new social order based on production for use and not for profit." The technocrats were in full effect. Dewey later became the organization's president. Later in the 1920s, Dewey went to Russia to help organize a Marxist educational system. But even the Russian communist dictator Joseph Stalin couldn't tolerate Dewey's progressive education, quote-unquote, and Dewey had to return to the United States. Dewey's students in Russia were not so lucky, however, as Stalin banished all of them to Serbia. Dewey's ideas have been accepted by the American government. However, for 1969, the Commission of Mental Health and Children issued a report which stated, quote, "The school, as the major socializing agency in the community, must assume a direct responsibility for the attitudes and values of child development." And the way the devil works, just in simple terms, is to come in with a seemingly noble sounding initiative and usually resources. Look, we have this need. Inflation is great for doing that, creating these scarcities. So, you know, you say, hey, we have these resources. We can commit to this good thing. And once you're in, like with the Federal Reserve Act, you know, you get a toe in the door, then there you go. You know, it's the camel in the tent deal. So that's how it works. Anyway, what would happen if we became familiar with the authentic and we could start having those conversations? What if we all sounded like Bruce Ray Riggs, for example, in his articulation of, speaking of American history after 1865, what if we were all as articulate as, say, a Bruce Ray Riggs on what happened post-Reconstruction? Can you imagine how those dinner table conversations would go? We wouldn't be fearful of political discourse, shall we say. It would be civil in nature, and we could exchange ideas. I think a lot of the time it's our own ignorance that frightens us more than anything. So maybe we'll play a little bit of Bruce Ray on the other side of the break. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Versus the tyranny of socialism, you write, "We often hear the claim that our nation is a democracy. That wasn't the vision of the founders. They saw democracy as another form of tyranny. If we've become a democracy, I guarantee you that the founders would be deeply disappointed by our betrayal of their vision."
Yes, I think that's absolutely right. If you read the statements by Madison, Jefferson, and Adams, they condemn the idea of democracy. Matter of fact, you don't find the term democracy in any of our founding documents. You don't find the word democracy in the Declaration of Independence. You don't find the word democracy anywhere in the United States Constitution. And if the listeners want further convincing of this, when we when we talk about when we pledge allegiance to the flag, is it to the democracy for which it stands, or the republic, or the song during the War of 1861? Was it the battle hymn of the democracy or the battle hymn of the republic? Now, the founders thought that the idea of majority rule was a form of tyranny, and if you look at the Constitution, if you read the Constitution represents our rules of the game, it's a very it's an anti-majoritarian document. That is, the president is not elected by a majority vote. The president can veto the wishes of 535 people of Congress, and it takes two-thirds to override his veto. So there are many anti-majoritarian aspects of the United States Constitution, which represents our rules of the game.
That actually was not Bruce Ray. That was obviously Walter E. Williams on his book. You know, again, that was the 2015 C-SPAN book interview with Brian Lamb, I believe, and Williams' book, Liberty Versus the Tyranny of Socialism. And, you know, it's important to point out also, as Hayek mentioned, it's not just a numerical majority, but, you know, this group of folks who is welded together. So that's an important distinction, I think. And I think that Hayek made that point very well. And, you know, we've seen that in recent years in particular, and it just seems to be increasing. You know, this effort, I think that really, reading chapter 10 is very informative and very insightful. The Road to Serfdom, Hayek's Road to Serfdom, chapter 10, why the worst get on top, and exactly what we mean when we say majority, because there is, you know, a nuanced distinction to be made. I think generally people think, you know, when you say majority rule, what does that mean? And it doesn't just mean a numerical majority. So that's perhaps one of the best points. And then, you know, there is this sort of amalgamation or agglomeration of groups in eusocial sort of fashion. People, basically, it's kind of a self-preservation mechanism where people start glomming on to these groups to try to save themselves from the tyranny of the minority, that's actually just the vocal minority that constitutes a seeming majority. And we've seen that, haven't we? Seen that the media is the cudgel, as Andrew Breitbart might say, that makes that tiny minority's voice seem louder. It's the megaphone and the cudgel. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.